This is a podcast from BBC Radio's news and sports station,
5Live.
To find out more about 5Live and its sister service, 5Live Sports Extra, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5Live.
The box office top 10 looks like this. At 10, Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience.
It has officially underperformed. Going in number 10. Thank you very much to all the people who wrote in last week and said, interested to hear your review, you should watch the South Park episode. And I watched the South Park episode and it was like, oh yeah, that, they said exactly what I said, only they probably said it several months earlier and funnier.
Obsessed is at 9.
I was in Japan.
And so therefore
unable to see it from Japan, what with it being on the other side of the world and everything.
X-Men Origins Wolverine is at number 8.
Still as boring as ever. And I thought I was going to be the most boring action movie of the year, but that was before the onset of McG.
Oh, well, now we know what you're going
to... I mean, honestly, I don't know that there's much tension in the lead-up to the Terminator Salvation review. I mean, all
I'm
you
very
have to
excited
do...
about it.
Really? It's directed by McG.
Well, do you know what he did before? It doesn't bother me.
Do you know what he directed before? Charlie's Angels. And Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, about which my good friend Nigel Floyd said yes. And at the end of it, I really did feel that somebody needed to be fully throttled.
12 rounds at 7.
I was in Japan.
Dear me, this
no, that's the end of those now.
Hannah Montana, the movie, is at 6.
You see, Hannah Montana has what the Jonas Brothers don't have. She has staying power. I think the Jonas Brothers have been and gone already. And Hannah Montana, however, is staying the course. And I had a lot of people saying, hey, you know, why are you even bothering with the Jonas Brothers movie? Because, you know, it's a huge phenomenon, but they are clearly on the downside already. And it is true, incidentally, that when we were having the conversation last week about whether they were as good as Busted, their biggest single is, of course, a Busted cover version. 3,000. Yeah, I think you knew that.
I think there'll be many people who disagree with you about the fact they're on the downside already. But
I think they're on the slide, because if they've gone straight in at number 10, that's not good.
Coraline is at 5,
which I think is a very good and very interesting. And some people said it's too scary for kids, but not at all. The problem, however, is the 3D issue. Yes, the 3D was good. Yes, the 3D was immersive. Do I think that the film would have worked just as well in 2D? Have to be honest. Yes, it would. Do I still think that the 3D revolution has been dreamt up by marketing men in order to prevent home piracy? Yes, honestly. If Jeffrey Katzenberg loves it that much, it's a financial decision.
Mark Stevenson says, "Dear Tuttle and Buttle," this is about Star Trek.
Do you know why Tuttle and Buttle?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, Brazil, come on. This whole Tuttle Buttle thing.
Maybe Dr. K should come to Nuneaton to see movies. We've just watched Star Trek with only 4 people in the cinema. It was
excellent.
Great fun, and we only paid for the cheap blue seats, but we sat in the overpriced black ones.
Isn't
that a thrill?
That's the cashback moment, isn't it? You say, you want the cheap, I'll have the £3.50 seat, and you get then the executive lounge is completely free.
And you spend your whole time just looking over your shoulder. No, still there.
Yeah.
Movie starts, you're in. Angels and Demons at number 3.
Stupidest film ever made. And somebody asked me whether it's gone in ahead of Bride Wars, because I said if there were 10 movies worse than Bride Wars this year, I'm going to resign. But no, it's not, because it was at least passingly entertaining in its stupidity. But it is stupid. And then some.
Barnaby Walters says, "I was aggrieved to hear that last week you had no correspondence on Angels and Demons, so I thought I'd oblige. I've always agreed with Mark that some rubbish can be fun, and Angels and Demons is further proof. It is absolute rubbish, but as long as you suspend disbelief and try not to feel like you're being taken for a mug, it is an exciting, fast-paced ride into the mad world of Dan Brown, and mad it really is. There are many scenes which push credibility to breaking point and then go further, assuming their audience is either stupid or very forgiving. But as I said, part of the enjoyment comes from watching something completely ludicrous unfold in such an entertaining way, and for that I'm prepared to forgive."
I love that phrase. There are many scenes which push credibility beyond... Okay, the premise of it is that somebody has buried antimatter under the Vatican.
Well, that's the whole
premise of the movie, right? There is a test tube of antimatter under the Vatican, and the only way it can be stopped from blowing up the Vatican is by skydiving pontiffs.
Drag Me to Hell's at 2.
Good fun. Sam Raimi. I don't think it's quite back on the form of Evil Dead, but it would be very, very hard for anything to be up there with Evil Dead, because Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2 remain absolute milestones of comedy horror. But the thing with Sam Raimi is he really knows how to do slapstick comedy as horror. And it's a movie in which people get really banged around by evil forces in a jolly way. I've read a couple of reviews that say, well, the problem with it is it stereotypes certain characters, like, you know, the bad woman is a gypsy. It's like saying, well, that new nursery rhyme in which the wolf gets a bit of a bad rap, it's not really about that. It's a stupid horror movie. That's what it's meant to be.
Nights at the Museum 2 is the UK's number one. So, coming up, Terminator Salvation will...
By McGee.
We'll get to that. I'm annoyed and irritated.
Exactly, exactly. And you haven't even seen the film.
No, it's not
just
the film,
his name.
It's you.
No, it's his name. What's your name? Who's going to direct this movie?
McGee.
Paddy McGinty's going to be doing that.
Yeah, let's call him Mr. Goat from now on.
Terminator Salvation is out. A lot of people have seen it already, actually. Lots and lots of emails on this. Mark, let's go with the latest Terminator film.
Well, let's destroy any tension by starting off by saying that it is life-threateningly dull. Terminator is one of those classic things. Terminator 1, good. Terminator 2, better. Terminator 3, worse. Although I have to say, Terminator 3 wasn't anything like as bad as it could have been. It's the old Godfather thing. 1, good. 2, better. 3,
and
not
going
as good.
Down, wasn't it 18, 15, 12?
Yeah, exactly. 18, 15, 12,
so
which means in theory there should have been a PG. No, but it's a 12 certificate movie. And it exists, you know, solely because the money says it has to at the end of Terminator 3. The whole deal was, you know, in Terminator 1, the Terminator was a killing machine. Terminator 2, he's a conflicted killing machine who turns out to be a dad machine. In Terminator 3, everyone's a machine. Terminator 4, directed by McGee, the film is a machine. Now, if you cast your mind back to 5-6 months ago when there was the Christian Bale outburst, do you remember all this? It was all over the news and YouTube. Christian Bale was on set doing a scene, and the lighting cameraman had moved some lights around whilst he was doing it, and he went mad, and he went into this great long rant about, you know, how dare you do this, I'm acting, how dare. And of course, being Christian Bale, he did it in character, in acting, because Christian Bale's accent is, of course, not actually American, but he does things in, once he's doing a character, he stays in that accent. So he had a complete sort of, you know, ranting fit, but with an American accent. And Michael Winner was on the radio. He was one of the very few people defending him, saying, you know, if that had happened on my set, I would have done exactly the same thing, because when an actor is in the zone, when they're doing it, it's his scene, it's his big moment, blah, 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 blah. Of course they're going to get worked up, because they're like De Niro, you know, they're thinking into the role. There was also an interview with a producer of Terminator Salvation who said that Christian Bale didn't want to come on board originally because he didn't want to just make an action movie. He didn't want to just do that because, you know, he'd done The Dark Knight, and he's an intelligent guy. He's a very, very smart, if rather intense, young man. So all these indicators are, well, you know, it's not just going to be a stupid action movie, because obviously he didn't want to do a stupid action movie. Plus, he was so involved in the role that when somebody moved the light around, he went completely mad. So, before we get to the review, here is a clip. The plot is, you remember the end of Terminator 3? Well, everything got wiped out. This is now Terminator Salvation. It's the bit that you see briefly in the Cameron movies when the machines have taken over, but there's a resistance, and the whole world is post-apocalyptic. And this is the voice that Christian Bale will do for every line in the film, whether he is ordering an attack or ordering some milk.
This is John Connor. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance. Listen carefully. If we attack tonight, our humanity is lost. Command wants us to fight like machines. They want us to make cold, calculated decisions. But we are not machines. And if we behave like them, then what is the point in winning?
Command is going to ask you to attack Skynet.
I am asking you not to. If even one bomb drops on Skynet before sunrise, our future will be lost. So please, stand down. Give me the time to protect our future that all of us are fighting for. This is John Connor.
And he does the whole film. That's like that. Occasionally he gets a bit louder, and then he gets a bit quieter. With the whole film.
No, I can cope with that. You know, Batman speaks in that kind of
voice. No, but okay, I think everyone thinks that in Dark Knight, the Batman voice was a problem. Because in Dark Knight, they had made the decision that somehow, when he was being Bruce Wayne, he talked like, you know, Christian Bale with an American accent. But when he was being Batman, he talked like that. He talked like, you know, somebody...
That was almost Yorkshire.
It was. That's where he came from. But in this, there's a really weird thing that he's obviously gone into character, and he's decided that the character of John Connor will just deliver every line in that voice. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking, why would Christian Bale be in a Terminator when he himself has said nobody thinks that Terminator 3 is the best Terminator movie, so why do we need another one? I don't want to be in just an action movie. And, of course, the film is directed by McGee, who's famous for directing the two Charlie's Angels movies. He's famous for having said in the paper, I brought this in just to prove I'm not making it up, said in the paper over the weekend, this is McGee.
This will be a Guardian supplement, of course, which will surprise nobody.
No, but I just saw, so I'm, you know, I'm not making it up. I was headbutted by Bill Murray. I mean, that in a way is the review of the film, right? McGee is a director who's headbutted by Bill Murray. I mean, I can't imagine a circumstance under which you could actually get Bill Murray to headbutt somebody, but McGee managed to do it. Now, McGee's entire...
Can you stop that now?
No, I can't, because that's his name.
Yes,
okay?
We'll just say it
no, and he has said, oh, one of the reasons people don't like me is because I'm called McGee. You go, no, you know what? There are so many reasons not to like you, and the fact that you're called McGee is actually the least of them. The reason people don't like you is you can't make films. Right, Charlie's Angels and Charlie's Angels Full Throttle are like, let's play dress up and you can all watch and everything's got to cut every other second because there's no substance to it. And in fact, I'm an advertising commercials television director who just happens to have landed on a movie set and been given this great big dressing up box to throw at the cinema screen. And I remember sitting there watching Charlie's Angels and starting to get sort of mild palpitations, irritated. This was the way cinema was going. In the middle of Terminator Salvation, the only two things that kept me going through it, because it's so crushingly dull. I mean, it's explosions and crashes and hitting and shooting and hitting and shooting and shouting and explosions and crashes and hitting and shooting, and it just goes on and on and on. And the only two things that kept me sane were, why did Christian Bale do it, right? The money? Does he need it? He just did Dark Knight, which is one of the biggest selling movies of all time. And secondly, why on earth is it that anyone would sign up to a movie that was directed by McGee when it is clear from his past track record that, one, he can't direct films, two, his sets descend into, outright aggression, three, the script wasn't the script that he wanted to do in the first place because it was just an action movie and he wasn't sure which character he wanted to do, and four, that it was entirely the kind of situation in which he was suddenly going to walk on set one day. And here's what I think happened with the lighting thing, right? I think Christian Bale was on set and somebody moved a light in the and he just suddenly went, I've woken up. I'm in a movie directed by McGee. I'm in Charlie's Angels 3. One minute I was considered to be one of the great acting talents of the generation. I've suddenly, it's like that thing you wake up naked in your maths exam. You know, everyone has that, right? Maybe not you, maybe just me. But everyone else has some, dream, and you suddenly wake up, how did I get here? And I think that's what happened. I think Christian Bale literally woke up on set one day and went, I'm being directed by McGee. And that the knowledge of thinking, because I guarantee he knows not only that the film is rubbish, but that he is absolutely rubbish in it. And the only thing that kept me, that held my attention...
Is this the fifth point? Or
yeah,
is it still on four?
The end, was looking at the face of Christian Bale and thinking, around the explosions and all the rest of it, I can see that look of absolute panic when somebody realises they're doing something that they really shouldn't be doing. A final point. The film is directed... This is the final point. Dedicated to the memory of Stan Winston. If you want to honour the memory of Stan Winston, go and hire Vengeance the Demon, a.k.a. Pumpkinhead.
Now, if you want to come to Cineworld in Edinburgh on the 19th of June as part of the Edinburgh Film Festival, we're doing a live show from there. Your last chance for tickets is the last batch, which is being made available now. This
now.
Moment. This second. If you'd like tickets, you go to... Now, just check that website. That looks rather strange to me. I'll just double check that. It's the BBC Tickets website, which is shows.external.bbc.co.uk, which I haven't seen before. But
it just trips off the tongue, though.
It does. So it's shows.external.bbc.co.uk/. That's what I've got there. That I imagine there will be details from the Five Live website. Cineworld, Edinburgh, 19th of June. We're going to be there. Last batch of tickets.
Well, you could just Google him and her in Scotland and it'll probably turn up.
Ben in Aberfeldy. Thought I'd send you my thoughts on Terminator.
Yeah, please
salivating.
Let somebody else. Terminator what?
Salivating.
Very good. And what do you call it before Terminator? Savalon.
Savalon.
Yeah, Savalon. I think that's good. Savaloy, I thought you said. Savalon, yeah.
First, I am Christian Bale. Hear me roar.
Yes.
Second, the film is a terrible mess and there was nothing in it I haven't seen before. Yeah. There was some suspicious CG in places and aren't we all glad Arnold Schwarzenegger keeps a handy batch of mist floating gently over a certain part of his otherwise exposed nakedness. The last Terminator film was by no means a masterpiece but was enjoyable and disposable. This incarnation, however, just felt as if it had fallen off the Jerry Bruckheimer robot film production line and then staggered shakily into a corner where it died a slow and painful death. This is a film which, ironically, has no heart. Jamie and Joe...
Can I just say that was very well written and very eloquent?
Thank you. I think I performed it quite well.
You did.
Dear Mark and Simon, we've just been to see Terminator Regurgitation and we thought it was really innovative. The first ever collage movie. Every single scene was from another movie. Yeah. We spotted The Dark Knight, a cheesy CGI motorcycle sequence. Yeah. Lord of the Rings, Sauron's Tower. Apocalypse Now, the helicopters heading off into the distance. Transformers, big robot and with motorcycle legs. The Matrix, robot squids with the red eyes. Minority Report, the inside of Skynet. Alien 3, the monster at the end gets covered with the hot metal and then sprayed with cold liquid. It went on and on and on. It was like a game. In every single scene we were whispering, that's from such and such, that's from, but not necessarily in a camp voice. Also Terminator 1, we won't spoil it. Terminator 2, the truck chasing the motorcycle. Anyway, I'm glad we got to see it before we heard Mark's review, because I'm sure he won't be able to review it without spoiling the surprises.
The very worst thing about it, of course, is it is like, and if such a thing is imaginable, McGee is like Michael Bay's untalented cousin. And this is like a bad version of Transformers. And bearing in mind what I thought about Transformers, that is just about as bad as you can get. And I think one of the reasons, for example, I was so happy that we was talking to, you know, Ken Loach this morning, was just in the wake of something like that. Just thank heaven for filmmakers like Ken Loach who actually want to make films rather than just, you know, make stuff on screen.
There is, there are many more emails that we could get to. However,
are they all universally bad? Is there any one of them that says that Terminator, you know, putrefaction is actually anything other than venal and crass?
There is one which was quite positive.
Did he say that it was not, that it was a good film?
Stringer and Barksdale. Anne, this is Anne in Warwick. Dear Stringer and Barksdale, looking forward to Mark's review of Terminator. I was expected to be disappointed, but after a busy day at work, it was just the thing I needed. Enough plot to follow. I didn't mind the odd hole. Fantastic action sequences, humour including a new film references, but most importantly, really good acting. Christian, safe in his hands, bailed Connor, as well as supported by a fine cast. Finally, the lighting was fantastic. Please give the guy who did the lighting a big pat on the back. You wanted to mention something else, and now is your time.
Anything for Her, which is this French thriller. It says on the poster that it's this year's Tell No One, which is a very high claim, and it isn't quite. Remember Tell No One, which was a really wonderful thriller, and which I was really sideswiped by. Now, it's not quite that, but it is a very fine piece of work. The story is very simple. At the beginning of it, you have a couple and their child, and they seem to have a very, very happy life, and they're, you know, living a very ordinary life. And suddenly, the police burst in through a door and arrest the wife, and she is charged and convicted of murder. Now, it is explained very early on in a sort of, you know, in a pretty simple sequence, how it is that it appears that she has committed a murder in which she has absolutely no involvement whatsoever. So there isn't really a question of whether or not she did it or she didn't. What then happens is that the husband faces a totally barren future. He's lost his wife, his child has lost their mother, he doesn't know what to do, all the appeals fail. And so he decides to go to the dark side and starts to contemplate the possibility of breaking her out of prison. Now, the reason that the film was interesting is that, and a couple of reviewers have said that there are things in it that are hard to believe, that are hard to swallow, and that some of the plot machinations are rather twisted. What I really liked was it was a film which had a central character that you could believe in, an ordinary, schlubby kind of guy, a guy who has no connection with the criminal world whatsoever, who finds himself in a position where he has to go and find out whether it's actually possible to do that thing that movies always talk about, oh, let's do a prison breakout. And I found it surprisingly gripping. And it was one of the things that was interesting about it was I was completely wrapped up in the characters. I thought they were very well played. I thought the film was very well directed, despite the fact that I know that a couple of people found the whole idea of breaking anyone out of prison under these circumstances to be completely ludicrous. And incidentally, I won't give away what happens, but of course what we discover very early on is that when he tries to find out whether it is possible to do this stuff, he discovers that the short answer to it is essentially no. There's a wonderful moment when he goes, he's pretending to be a journalist, and he goes to interview a guy who was a former career criminal who has now sort of become a writer. And he says, you know, look, if for example, you were going to do this, would it be possible? And the guy says, you know, breaking out of prison's easy. It's the staying out of prison that's really hard. And it was really intelligently done to take effectively a crime novel thriller story that we're all sort of familiar with, you know, the prison breakout, and say, well, what would happen if you applied it to a completely realistic situation of a guy who has absolutely no experience of this world whatsoever. How would it play out? And I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's quite up there with Tell No One, simply because I thought that Tell No One was such a remarkable film, and there's that wonderful sequence in it that you and I argued about, in which he's walking through the woods to the sound of Lilac Wine, which, of course, was Elkie Brooks.
That was a great movie.
Elkie Brooks versus U2. So it's not quite Tell No One, but it is the film of the week.
Astonishingly.
Yes.
So.
Well, no, not astonishingly so, because, I mean, it's a proper film.
Okay, just final email on Terminator from Alan Leeds, dear T-800 and T-1000. I saw it last night, thought it was pure drivel. The characters were underdeveloped and dull. It had plot holes the size of submarines. If McGee set out to terminate the franchise,
McGee,
he accomplished his mission like with aplomb. The collective groan that went up in the packed cinema when John Connor said, "I'll be back," pretty much summed it up. I suggest the film might be better suited with one of the following titles: Terminator Salvation Army, Bruce Wayne versus the Transforminators, or Interminable Frustration. So bad it could have been directed by Michael Bay.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
You can get more of my film reviews, anecdotes and opinions by visiting my uncut blog. Head to www.bbc.co.uk/markkermode.